Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Good morning, Pacific Beach Methodists. I'm Julie Cox, and I'll be your worship leader this Palm Sunday. Today's reading is from Mark 11, 1 through 11. It is the Jesus triumphal entry into Jerusalem. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them that it was what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it, many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread the leafy branches as they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Holy Week can be overwhelming, daunting, exhausting even. It moves us through times when we feel like we're on top of the world and then plummets us into the depths and the shadows. It invites us to a place of courage and vulnerability and faith as we walk with Jesus through these tumultuous days, knowing very well that they ultimately lead us to the cross. And the truth is, some of us don't have any desire to go to that destination. It's hard and messy and confusing at times. It's a story that will break our hearts again and again and again. And yet we choose to different degrees, and all of those degrees are okay. We choose to go, to engage, to embark on the journey the best we can, perhaps because we remember that the cross is not the final stop, not the end of the story. I want to begin this week by saying a word about our final spiritual practice in our Lenten series. This week's practice is the breath prayer, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a prayer that can be uttered in one single breath, and it's designed to be repeated again and again and again. In its brevity and simplicity, it brings calm, peace, connectedness to God, even in the midst of the most overwhelming, daunting, exhausting times or circumstances. I invite you to consider developing your own breath prayer for this Holy Week as we move together through the peaks and valleys of the days ahead. And Palm Sunday starts us out on a peak, a high, high. We heard Julie read this great account that almost reverberates with anticipation. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest heaven! We can only begin to try to imagine the sights and the sounds of the gathering and growing crowd outside the city of Jerusalem on that day. The crowd that flocked around Jesus, who rode in on that colt that had never been ridden before. The crowd that waved those stately palm branches that were a sign of power and authority and nobility. The crowd that shouted and sang, praised and danced, that tossed their own coats onto the dusty road in order to pave the way of this one who had come to save them. Because that's what they were shouting, you know? Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest, which means save now. Save us. Save me. What they had waited for so many years, what some had waited for a lifetime, the promise that they had built their whole lives upon was finally here. It was really happening. Here was the one who could liberate them. Here was the one who could set things in order. Here was the one who could offer them both freedom and favor in the way that they were always meant to have it. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Save now! Save us! Save me! Ah, the joy must have been contagious that day. Because some, I'm sure, had given up believing that this day would ever come. And some, I imagine, nodded their heads knowingly, reassuring themselves that they knew that if they just waited patiently, faithfully enough, this day would arrive. And here it was. And I imagine that even people who were not very comfortable shouting, even people like me, maybe people like you, were caught up in the excitement of that moment and shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, in the midst of the energy of that crowd. And although I like to think about them as a crowd, I wonder about the big picture. I also wonder about them as individual people. I wonder who was gathered there on that day. I wonder who were the most enthusiastic of shouters and who were the more timid ones. Who unabashedly released their excitement and who smiled in embarrassment at the sound of their own voices being lifted up. But you know the thing that I wonder about most is from what did they hope to be saved? Of course, we know that they hoped to be saved from the political rule of the Romans. But what did that mean to their lives, their families, their relationships, their pains, their toils, to shout to this Jesus, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, save now, save us, save me. From what specifically, I wonder, did each one hope to be saved? How did they hope that things would change for them? How did they hope that this would touch their lives, the lives of their families, the lives of their friends? But you and I know that whatever their hopes were, they rapidly turned to bitter disappointment. They had cried Hosanna and they were swept away in the frenzy of believing that their salvation was finally at hand. Yet when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, everything started to go wrong. Terribly, terribly wrong. and the one who hours earlier had appeared to be the one who would come in power and might, the one who could and would save them, now seemed to be headed towards certain humiliation and defeat. And it did not take long before the voices of the people who had shouted, "Hosanna," began to waver and disperse. And it did not take long for the disappointment and the shame that they felt to turn to anger, and for the anger to then turn to rage. Rage that this was not who they had understood him to be. Rage that this was not the one who would save them in the way that they had hoped. And it did not take long for those voices to find one another again, to reunite, but this time in a cry not of Hosanna, but in a cry of crucify him, crucify him. And I imagine that even people who were not accustomed to hearing hatred in their own voices, even people like me, maybe even people like you, were caught up in the disappointment and the anger and the rage of that moment and shouted, crucify him, in the midst of the energy of that crowd. I imagine. Can you? Let us pray. Loving God, enter the rhythms of our breathing this week, again and again and again, with your peace, your courage, your reassurance, your hope, as we walk with your beloved through these peaks and valleys. Even when we are tempted to close them, open the eyes of our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts. Help us to see this through. Amen. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, we have crossed the threshold of this holy week, and we know that we are on sacred ground. We turn our hearts to you. We open our eyes, even when it's difficult, as we seek your guidance, your blessing, your strength, the new life that you offer to us again and again and again. We lift up in prayer people near and dear to our hearts who we know are in need. Be with those who are ill and those who are receiving treatment. May your Holy Spirit bring courage, hope, healing, and peace. We pray for families who are grieving, enduring that which should not have to be endured after the recent shootings in Atlanta and Boulder. We pray for all individuals and communities that have been ripped apart by gun violence. Guide us through and out of feelings of helplessness that threaten to paralyze us. Lead us to solutions and policies that honor the sacredness of life. God of the journey, like people of faith throughout the ages, you have invited us to be a pilgrim people. We have traveled these days of Lent, seeking you more fully in our lives and in our world. We thank you for companions on that journey who have strengthened us in spirit, for joys that have sprung forth along the way, for challenges that have stretched us to grow in ways we never imagined possible. We thank you for so many things, but especially for choosing to be with us. Give us the courage and the strength to remain with you during this holy week. Prepare our hearts and minds and spirits to embrace the unconventional and surprising ways in which you work to set us free, reconciling us to you, reconciling us wounded and wounding human beings to one another. Keep us open to the mystery and hope and promise of your ways, a way that sometimes leads us to the cross, but a way that will always lead us through. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Mark 15, verse 1 through 39. Jesus before Pilate. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, Are you the king of Jews? He answered him, You say so. Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you? But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Pilate hands Jesus over to be crucified. Now at the festival, he used to release the prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, Do you want me to release for you the king of Jews? For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, Then what do you wish for me to do with the man you called the king of Jews? They shouted back, Crucify him! Pilate asked them, Why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, Crucify him! So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers mocked Jesus. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him. Hail, King of the Jews! They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. The crucifixion of Jesus. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. They had brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, and they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself! Come down from the cross! In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, He who saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. The death of Jesus. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, and put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from the top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, and he said, "Truly, this man was God's son."
Thank you.